Welcome to a podcast of a sermon delivered at the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood in New Jersey. Our congregation is a place where you will find inspiration in the richness of diverse beliefs and the power of community. Detailed information about the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood is available on our website, uuridgewood.org.
It has been quite a week. On the upside of things, I was able to attend most of yesterday's sessions of the Left Forum in New York, which is my annual spiritual intellectual retreat. And much to my delight, after years of lobbying for this to happen, in the display area, Beacon Press was there, our denominational publishing house, with one of the best-selling books of the event, Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz's Indigenous People's History of the United States. On a sadder note, Jim Key, who had served as moderator of the Unitarian Universalist Association, resigned just a few weeks ago, not because of the troubles at the top of the association, which we had counted on him to help steer us through at this General Assembly, but because he had a second bout of cancer. He had survived one 20 years earlier. And this is virulent, and he died this week. And so we extend our love and sympathy to his family. And we as Unitarian Universalists who saw Jim Key in action as the moderator, chairing board meetings, chairing the General Assembly, getting out and speaking on behalf of our free faith, we will miss him. And we suffer a loss also. So what's left to say? It got me thinking about this institution we call preaching in the free church tradition, of which Unitarian Universalism is a part, the idea that an ordained minister or other person of some education and status speaks to a gathered congregation for some amount of time on a Sunday morning. The idea that someone engaged to lead a congregation has wisdom to offer and insights to share. And one very interesting discussion that I was part of this week through the benefits of our cyber connections, one of my colleagues said the sermon manuscript is 2,783 words long. Word count is wonderful, isn't it? And people started jumping all over him for, that's 28 minutes, that's too long. And those of you who remember the halcyon days of Kenneth Patton here would not think that's too long. Now, I will tell you, I've sat through many sermons myself, and the longest one I ever sat through really only lasted 16 minutes, but it felt like it would never end. But it's a peculiar institution in that way, in that even with all our cyber connections and tweeting and stuff like that, that people engage in a spiritual discipline, which is a back and forth between a minister or an ethical culture leader in Judaism with a rabbi and take those words and work with them and sometimes bring them back and challenge them. So it's a peculiar institution, and this is the 68th time I have stepped up to this pulpit to do this over the last 2 years, and next week will be the last time. And it has been an honor to do this in this setting and with this congregation, which has worked very hard during this inter-ministry period at self-reflection and self-challenge and has taken to heart things I have said, even when you've argued with them at times. But one of the great strengths of this congregation is not to dismiss, even when you disagree, but to engage. And that's a very powerful gift in itself. So we've achieved a lot of things together the last couple of years, and you can read all about them in my printed report. But I will highlight a few things that bear noting and mention a few things that bear reiteration. We spent some time working through grief and hurt over the departure of the previous minister, and many people worked very hard on that, and came away from that with a sense that that could be put behind you and you could move on. You know, not to forget, not to wipe out, but to incorporate into the history and then build upon it. But there was a lot of grief and hurt. There was distrust and anxiety. And people, through the small group meetings that the transition team and I did, through board meetings, through other settings, discussed these issues, worked through them, and lowered the level of anxiety until the search began again. But didn't ratchet up quite so high as it had been. And of course, times of transition are times of anxiety. The key to getting through a good transition is not denying that you're anxious about things, you're anxious about the uncertainties, you're anxious about what the future might hold. To learn how to live with those things while doing the work to move from the past into the future. And as I've said, I'll go one-to-one on it with any of you about who can be the most anxious about something. I'm good at it. But I also invested a lot of time in learning how to live with it and manage it. So if you ever find my mental health records, you'll find chronic anxiety syndrome in there. So that'll just save the NSA and whoever from looking that up. It's out there. And I was meeting with several members of the transition team this week. They pointed out how we have done a lot of discussion over this interim period about the theological diversity of the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood, a topic which previous ministers have raised and tried to work with, and a sense that finally there's some ability to live with it and not see it as a threat from one group to another. Which is not to say people won't still be anxious about change, because they will. But we have spent some time acknowledging that diversity and incorporating it into our Sunday services. The first Christmas Eve service I did here, Johanna and I were standing by the door, because it was really co-leadership in that service. We're standing by the door greeting people, and someone said, "That was awfully Christian." Well, it was Christmas Eve. If you do a Seder, is someone going to come up to you and say, "That was awfully Jewish"? Probably not. But what else would it be? And if you did a Buddhist ritual here or something, would you say, "That was awfully Buddhist"? You guys are getting better at this, at living with the differences and acknowledging them and honoring them. And in fact, truth be told, this whole model of the preacher getting up here on Sunday morning between a couple of hymns is a Protestant Christian model. We call it the hymn sandwich in the technical literature. And sometimes those hymns are thick and chewy and you can't get to the rest of it. But one of the things I've seen that was already present here but needed encouragement is the ability to allow vision to drive decisions, not the anxiety, not the concern about budget, not the worries about the things that needed to be taken care of that weren't ready yet to be taken care of, but to allowing vision to drive the decisions. And that has given a lot of power to the interim work and will give a lot of power to your new settled ministry. Vision, not fear. Hope, not despair. And one thing that is a characteristic of the people of this society is overall, in spite of some periods of discouragement and dismay as what's going on in the world, a positive, action-oriented response to the challenges of the time in which we live, which are indeed challenging and difficult times. And someone said to me quite a few years ago, it's a minister's job to say we're in challenging and difficult times, because then you can present to them what they need to do. It gives you something to talk about, but I think we'll all agree we live in particularly challenging times. And I was at a musical event some weeks ago, just a few weeks ago, where someone said, got up and said, you know, I think these times were bad. Think about the 1850s. Fugitive Slave Act. Every police officer in the country deputized to catch and return slaves to the South. A civil war brewing on the horizon. He was not saying this to demean or diminish or dismiss the seriousness of the times in which we live, but to remind us that we have gone through difficult times and we'll get through them again. He did not, I'm happy to say, mention that the president who signed the Fugitive Slave Act was a Unitarian, which is very distressing. But an overall positive response of what can we do? And there was a lot of dismay and discouragement as well as anger after the last election. And people here have turned it into a motivation to act and to keep going and to keep building. And people have come in from the community around us seeing that this is a place where people will respond in ways that are positive against negative things in order to move forward in the world. And so our job is to respond to the headline on last Friday's Daily News. Now, most of you don't read the Daily News. You know, you get the Times delivered in the Record. I get the Times and the Star-Ledger because I live by Newark. But I always look at the post in the Daily News in the store when I pop in during the day. And I had to buy Friday's issue of the Daily News. There's a picture of Donald Trump on the cover. And mimicking a headline from some decades ago, it says, "Trump to world, drop dead." This was, of course, the response to saying he was going to withdraw from the Paris Accord. And then the subheadlines about denying science and so on. Well, it's our job not to let the world drop dead. It's our job to nurture the world, to sustain the world, to do our work for peace and justice and the well-being of our natural environment. To do that work in spite of what other people are doing. And to do that work in the best ways that we can, where we are. And your attachments and connections to local groups across the county and the local interfaith group here in Ridgewood are very positive in that regard and speak well of the potential for you to continue this good work with your new minister going forward. So we're not going to let the world drop dead. We're going to keep it going. We're going to continue to build the beloved community. But some of the things that are left to say have to do with some of the ways the society functions that aren't as good as they could be. And one of them is something I've been trying to tackle for the whole 2 years. The board is aware of it. Other people in elected leadership are aware of it. And that's this overly complex council committee structure that you have. You got to rework it. We at least got it as an open conversation now. But it'll make your lives easier to reorganize that. But not to wait for the board to do it from the top down, but for all of you to figure out how can we do this better in your committee meetings, when you meet in your councils. Figure out how we can do this better. And of course, there is more work to do in the area of the white supremacy culture. We had the teach-in, but that is not the end of it. And this is going to be a lot of the work we're going to be doing at the General Assembly for the denomination as a whole. Not dropping the other stuff on the agenda, because no one thing means we drop the other good things. But to continue that work. And you know, one of the grievous things is that Jim Key will not be there to moderate those meetings, which will be difficult. Difficult meetings indeed. And that is something he did very well. But the work will go on to bring us forward into the kind of faith community we've always said we want to be. And now facing up to how that some of these things get in the way. And that's true locally as anywhere else. One task your board is hard at work at is recruiting a new director of religious education. You know, I am so sad that Johanna is leaving you. And I'll tell you, when she came to meet with me before she told the board, I was crying. Because she is doing such a wonderful job for you. But I'm confident you will find someone else who can do a wonderful job for you. And that you will support that person the way you supported Johanna. And that you'll continue to have a strong religious education program. And then one more gripe. Some of you may not realize this, but the greeters count the house, so to speak. And according to their notes, on each of the two candidating Sundays, there are 102 people in attendance at the service, which is about twice the typical Sunday attendance. Typically through the fall, winter, and into the early spring, it's 80 to 100. And then once it gets up to Memorial Day, it really drops off. And one of the things I said in my talk, my message about the care and feeding of the ministry, is the importance of presence. And I talked so well earlier, I talked this morning about how well so many of you worked on resolving grief and anxiety and issues of uncertainty and even of trust and distrust amongst yourselves and with the board. But if people have made themselves totally absent for much of the last 2 years, they will not have done that work. And it will be up to you who have been here doing that work to continue that work and bring people along who've made themselves absent because they were just stepping back. And people do this during transition periods, but the numbers here have been higher than typical. So the question becomes, how do you develop a culture where that commitment to presence is really embedded day to day, week to week in your life as a religious community? And how do you bring your friends and neighbors along whom you love, who are part of this community, who have been absent much of the time for the last couple of years, some of them since the week that Kathleen Green left? And re-knit that part of the community and make the presence that needs to be here to support the new minister that you have overwhelmingly called to come and live with you and take up this very peculiar practice of preaching. So you are about to commence on a new ministry with the Reverend Sarah Lindsay. And your commitment to being present is a key element of the care and feeding of that ministry. You have a strong elected leadership that is ready to work with her, and you will elect some new trustees at the meeting following this service. And you will also all need to work with her. I won't repeat what I said on March 19th, but I think that podcast is still on the website if you missed it. But I want to remind you and say this once again. The Unitarian Society of Ridgewood is a freely gathered, covenanted, liberal religious community. Freely gathered means you're here because you choose to be here. You choose to be part of this community. And covenant means that you don't believe in a creed, but you believe in principles of how you work together and how you support each other and how you support your ministry and how you will live in the world together. It's referred to as walking together because many of the early New England church covenants said, if two or three walk together, how can they be divided? And walking together is what you choose to do in joining such a community as this, to walk together in the world, but also in this particular place to create and sustain a religious free space in a world that seems at times to be closing in on all of us. A world which I know has certainly become, in spite of the successes in some areas of civil rights and human rights, seemingly more and more contracting than it was when I was growing up. Becoming more and more a world where the President of the United States can basically blow off people, critics, even allies. In a place where ugliness and violence is becoming more and more acceptable, and I'm not just talking about terrorism in other places, I'm talking about terrorism like in Portland, Oregon, a week ago. The importance of the society cannot be underestimated. And it was reaffirmed following last November's election. When people started reappearing, and some people appearing for the first time, looking for a place where they can share their values and their fears and their hopes in a world that suddenly got a lot scarier to them. So you do not say drop dead to the world. You say, how can I nurture the world? What can we do to keep it alive and well and healthy? You don't even do that to other people when you get angry at them. You generally treat them with respect, even when you have arguments. This is good. But you are a people who have faith in life. You have faith in the shared life, which is both a biological heritage, much affirmed by your stained glass windows in the back, but also a theological heritage of the liberal religious tradition, of the great universalist teaching that no soul is outside of the possible reach of God's love, and the Unitarian teaching that every person has the right to think and believe as he or she will. So you bring a great deal to the new ministry that will start, as does the Reverend Dr. Sarah Lindsay. And I have great confidence in her and in you, the people of this society, that you will have a successful ministry, that you will heal the broken world, that you will stand up for the rights of those who are marginalized and oppressed, that you will insist upon this society being just and equitable. If you need one more little bit of encouragement, as I was driving up the parkway today, I was listening to public radio. Actually, I was listening to WNYC. Sometimes I listen to WBGO because all I want to hear is music when I'm driving. But this morning I wanted to catch up on the news while I was driving. And I was listening, and there's an interview with the mayor, of a city near Indianapolis. I forget the name of the city. And he's a Republican mayor, and he is one of the mayors who is part of a group of city mayors in this country that have joined together to support the Paris Climate Accords. They did this before this week. They've been working on this for years, many of them, on how their cities can, in their public works and in their economic development, support the health of the planet. And he's a Republican. But one of the things he said was, our association of mayors represent the cities and towns in which 85% of the population of the United States live. And think about the power of the chief municipal officers of 85% of the population of this country, joined together with a lot of governors, both Republican and Democratic, asserting the importance of responsibility towards the climate and towards this planet. So there's work to do, and the people have the power to do that work. And it's not a Democratic or a Republican issue. It's about people extending their love to each other as human beings, people insisting on justice for all human beings, and people insisting on protecting and sustaining this precious and fragile planet on which we all live. So the last thing I have to say at this point is, you are doing great work. Keep it up. Do it better. Build a new ministry with Sarah Lindsay, and there's no limit to what you can do in this community, in this county, and your reach into the far reaches of this world. May it be so. Amen. Blessed be.